I think that the big role of women in our generation, women wanting to steward million plus dollar companies, we have to start to envision ourselves in a new archetype, not the martyr, not the maiden, not the man, but the mother, the matriarch, the woman who stands in that sovereign queen energy and really is able to affect a lot of change and steward a lot of wealth and power through her from this place of benevolence and from this place of deep worthiness.
Welcome to She Empowers the Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Kayla Lucas. I'm a mom of two, a family-focused chiropractor, a trailblazing entrepreneur, and a holistic mindset queen. I am on a mission to empower women to lead themselves and their families to greater health and wellness in their personal lives and businesses. Each week, I'm sharing inspiring content that will give you the tools to navigate your own wellness journey, grow your businesses, expand your mind, and take care of the ones you love. This is your space to feel supported, inspired, and empowered. Let's get into it. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back to another episode of She Empowers the Podcast. I am so excited to bring you today's guest. Not only is she going to empower us in our money mindset junk that we might be holding on to, but she is a wealth of knowledge in terms of being a seven-figure CEO and business mentor for mother entrepreneurs. She's a TED Talk speaker. She's the host of the Millionaire Mother Podcast, an internationally recognized online business expert, as well as a loving wife, mama to two kiddos with one on the way. I'm pretty sure she's well into her third trimester. Kate's mission is to empower ambitious mothers to create wildly profitable businesses that they dream about without sacrificing the rich motherhood experience. So before I get too much into who this beautiful guest is, I have Kate Scudder on the podcast with us today, and I have been wanting to interview her for probably over a year. So welcome, Kate. I'm so excited for you to be here.
Oh, Kayla, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, like I said, I've been following you for a while. I know you've been featured in Forbes and Fast Company and Business Insider, among many other publications, but you have really been this catalyst in my own growth. And the reason why I really wanted to call you on the podcast today is because women often want to shy away from the big topic of money. And since you have the Millionaire Mother podcast, I mean, I listened to it when it was the Born to Rise podcast and have watched you kind of go through such a big transition in your own identity. You're also a homesteader, which is like hard to believe that you wear so many different hats. So if the listeners have not heard of you, I would love for you to share who you are, how you've gotten to where you are, going from being a high school teacher to now a seven-figure business mentor.
Yeah, for sure. So as you say, I am the founder and the CEO of The Millionaire Mother. That is the name of my brand and company. I rebranded the business about, gosh, it was really only like 7 months ago, which is hard to believe. But I am a mom, as you say, of two. I have a third on the way. I'm 34 weeks at the time of recording this with my third. So I will have three babies under 3.5 in about 2 months, under 2 months. And for me, Kayla, I mean, I can do my whole like timeline trajectory. I started my company in 2017. I was living at the time in Bali, definitely pre-kids. Had worked, yes, as a high school teacher before that, but I was also just like a barefoot backpacking yogi, figuring it out, taking teacher trainings, and really trying to lean into, well, what does it look like to, you know, create a life and a business that synthesizes and utilizes all of my gifts and lets me make my own money while I'm doing it? And that process was really catalyzed in Bali because there's such an entrepreneurship culture there then as there is now. And so that's where I got my business off the ground. I scaled to 6 figures in my first year, multiple six within 18 months. And then it really just started to compound from there. But it was around 2020 when I became pregnant with my first that I really started to feel the tectonic plates of my identity shifting even before I gave birth to my daughter. It was in my pregnancy that I could start to feel okay, everything is about to change. And then sure enough, when I had my daughter in October of 2020, it did. And then again, in June of 2022, when I delivered my son, Ella, my daughter, was around 18, or maybe she was 19 months, but she was under two. And all of a sudden I had two under two. I was running a seven-figure business. And once again, I could feel the plates starting to shift. And I have always, Kayla, been a real advocate, as you know, if you listened to the podcast back when it was Born to Rise, of the importance in the marriage between energy and strategy to grow and scale a profitable, sustainable business. And something about stepping deeper and deeper into my own identity as a mother, into my own matrescence, I could feel, and having actually many women either who were preparing for motherhood or moms just flooding into my world saying, like, thank you for talking about things in the way that you do. Thank you for giving language to our experience as moms. Because I'll be honest, when I started my business, even recently, like, the industry has been largely dominated. The top earners in the industry have largely been maidens, have largely not have children. Mm-hmm. And it is a very different reality to grow, scale, and sustain a million, multi-million dollar company when you have small humans to look after and your bandwidth is limited and you're not sleeping through the night and you have other beings outside of yourself to take care of. And so everything changes from an internal identity level to a business model level to a time and capacity level, mm-hmm. To a need for systems, delegation, support. So that those conversations really selfishly were the things that I found myself initiating because it was what I needed. And as my company has grown and as I have transitioned the brand, the Millionaire Mother has really been a space and a haven and a wellspring for women who are craving that exact conversation and that exact kind of support to help them achieve the really big numbers and the big milestones while also prioritizing the experience of motherhood that they want.
Well, that's why I found it such a breath of fresh air to follow you, because even in my own journey, I mean, I have two children, they're 6 and 4. I also run a business. I've started this podcast and I have more in me that I want to bring forth. And I think many women can actually relate to that, is there's this identity shift for sure in motherhood, but then there's also this alchemy of who we're trying to bring forth and who we're trying to become. And it's been said that we always become the coaches that we wish we would have had. So you speaking on these topics and boldly, like, you know, you're not quiet about it. You're very audacious in the way that you're sharing this information and the way that you're calling women into this own calling of themselves is absolutely beautiful. And I really wanted to kind of ask you too on the podcast is, like, how do you hold the identity of a millionaire mother? Was there some challenges that you had to face going from a six-figure business to a seven-figure business, all the while raising babies, breastfeeding, being pregnant, and going through the postpartum things?
Oh my God, 100%. How much time do you have? I feel like the biggest piece, honestly, Kayla, is, like, you use the word audacious, and that's interesting. There is so much conditioning for women, full stop, like, living, operating inside of a patriarchy. But I feel like as women, we are so conditioned to, like, take up and encouraged to, like, be empowered, take up space, but not too much space, like, be successful, but not too successful. And when we're making, you know, a six-figure income, there's a lot of, like, good job, like, you're doing it. Oh my God, you're doing amazing. But to be, like, the breadwinner, to be someone who's making, like, multiple six figures, seven figures, multiple seven figures, there is this way in which we are breaking glass through glass ceilings. We are forging new territory. And it's really, like, being willing. The inner work is, do I feel safe enough in my own nervous system to do what I have never seen done before, to be the first millionaire in my family? And I, you know, I come from a background, like, my family was, I would say, like, lower middle class growing up. We, you know, my mom bought bread and milk and eggs on, like, WIC food stamps. And And we always had enough to like go around and never went hungry or anything, but it definitely was not, there was no affluence. Like I remember going grocery shopping with my mom and her putting grapes back on the shelf if they were not on sale for 79 cents a pound. And it was like, I was so happy when grapes were on sale for 79 cents a pound because then we got to have grapes. But, you know, just like things like that, that I remember. And so for those of us who are like totally rewiring our family generational wealth story. And it's like, buy anything, don't look at the price. It doesn't matter because there's more than enough. There's an overflow. That is a behavior that has to be normalized in our own nervous systems because we don't have a set, we don't have a template for that being the norm. And so when I was going from six to multiple six to seven figures, it was like my own nervous system and my own identity calibrating and catching up with the fact that my reality was rapidly upgrading. And frankly, like being in rooms, masterminds, mentorship containers that supported me to calibrate to that is my new normal because I wasn't calibrating to that in my family of origin. I wasn't calibrating that in my high school friends who were, you know, staying in the same town that I grew up in. It's like we are environmental beings. We're constantly responding to our environment, which is why I think mentorship is so important. Because we get to normalize in relationship what becomes acceptable.
Absolutely. I feel like it's this catalyst of changing the lineage upon which you have recalled your past experiences and also are bringing forth new experiences into your standard. And I think standard is something that obviously has to shift if you are going from an income that's 50,000 to 100,000 to 600,000 to millions of dollars. And like you said, being the first millionaire in your family, I too can recall things needing to be on sale and clipping coupons. And not that there was anything wrong with that, but you really don't recognize until you're an older adult how imprinted that identity and that paradigm that you're operating in is so deeply rooted in how you navigate the world, in your belief systems, in how you speak to yourself and what you believe to be true for your own success. So I am picking up what you're putting down, Kate, and I love every single post that you put up. I save them just so that I can refer back to them for my own self. I know that our listeners will resonate with that on a soul level. And I think that, you know, as we kind of unpack this conversation, I really want to know so wholeheartedly in terms of like the money mindset is what are the most common money mindset setbacks and wounds that you've had that you hear women talk about, and how do you coach them to shift from that lack scarcity to the abundance, especially if their current reality is not a reflection of what they want to create?
Yeah. Oh, such great questions, Kayla. So when I think about money and I think about mindset, and maybe this is just having done so much of this inner work, having done a lot of therapy, I like to take an approach where I think about attachment style. And for, I don't know if your listeners are going to be familiar with that, but when we think about attachment style, anybody who's done like any kind of therapy here, you probably talked about this or any sort of like family systems work, but there's many different attachment styles, but we can present more of like an anxious attachment. And often we talk about attachment styles as it relates to relationships. Well, our relationship with money is just another relationship. And for most of us, our views, our beliefs, our stories, our mindset around money was formed in childhood, like most of our worldview. Mm-hmm. So if we come from a family of origin that's like clipping coupons, don't have enough, like, or even just like driving somewhere as a family and mom or dad makes a comment of like, oh, like at the Joneses, like in their fucking Mercedes or whatever. There is this subtle imprinting that happens of people like us, or like in order to belong to the tribe, which is our primal, most instinctual, especially as children. It's like literally belonging with our parents equals survival. Belonging with our family unit equals survival. Mm-hmm. And if we don't belong, if we don't adhere to those same beliefs, we're outside of the circle of support and safety. It's fucking dangerous. We might die. Like that is what our brains in the youngest ages are conditioned with. And so as we grow up, we have these like subliminal beliefs that often we don't even think about. We judge somebody who wears or flashes a designer bag or drives the fancy car. We think about it as frivolous. We're like, you know, and again, this totally depends on what your family of origin is. Maybe you were raised in a completely different story and your money mindset is very different. And, you know, you grew up with like really affluent wealth, but people who didn't know how to manage it. And so you got the message that money wasn't safe. You couldn't be trusted with a ton of money. There's so many different money imprinting stories, but we have to go back to childhood and look at, well, what is my inheritance? Like, what have I inherited as it relates to money? And what am I working with? Then we get to look at what is our attachment style with money. When we feel like there's not enough, how do we show up? Many of us, if we've grown up feeling like there's not enough, can be anxiously attached. And so when we come into the online space, when we come into the online business world, we're like gripping, white knuckling, like gotta hit 10K months, gotta hit 20K months, gotta hit whatever, like my worthiness, my validity, my value, it's all intertwined with hitting this goal. And we can be very, very white knuckly about it. There's this other attachment style where we can be like, well, it's not going to happen for me anyway. I already know I'm on the out. Those kind of numbers don't happen for people like me. So we do this avoidant thing where we say we want to hit a goal, but we do this self-protective thing. And listen, like I have done this before. I'm sure all of our listeners have, where we're going for a launch and we're like, I would love for this to be a fill in the blank number launch. But there's this little belief that says, I don't think I can really hit that. I don't think it's going to happen. And so what do? That's avoidant attachment. That is, well, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go through the motions, but I'm not really going to go for it. Because if I really go for it, then that is extremely vulnerable because I really put myself out there and tried and it didn't work out the way that I want. And that would be extremely painful. So rather than do that, I'm going to kind of hold back and say, tried, but it didn't work. And we really want to get to this place with money where there's this like healthy fluidity. I always talk about like committed, but not attached mm-hmm. when it comes to follow through, when it comes to operating our businesses of like knowing like these numbers are available to me and I am committed and devoted to showing up for my side of the street, but I'm also not attaching my worthiness and like my ability to feel calm in my nervous system to hitting these numbers in a certain timeline. And I think that when we can start to tap into that frequency, that's where the magic really starts to happen. Because when we are committed, like the universe pays attention, you know, momentum, if we are in the vibrational frequency and it, not just in like the vibe, but also following through because we're in the vibe and doing the actions that move the needle forward in business, we're going to see results, period. But if we are so like myopically focused on how quickly is that happening or is it even working for me, that's when things start to get wonky. So I think that that committed but not attached is really, really important. And looking at our patterns of either like anxiously gripping or avoidantly turning away, looking at what our stories of belonging are and really starting to transcend that and say, what do I actually want for myself? And one thing that's been tremendously helpful for me, Kayla, is like working with the archetype of the queen. And again, this is like a lot of transcending my childhood template. Mm-hmm. It was not like my mother was like walking. I love her and she's like my best friend, but she was not walking around like I am a sovereign queen goddess that like whatever. She was, you know, very Enneagram 2, very people-pleasy, take care of everyone else's needs. And that is the template of womanhood, wifehood, motherhood that so many of our mothers and mothers' mothers inherited. And I think that the big role of women in our generation, women wanting to steward million-plus-dollar companies, we have to start to envision ourselves in a new archetype, not the martyr, not the maiden, not the man, but the mother, the matriarch, the woman who stands in that sovereign queen energy and really is able to affect a lot of change and steward a lot of wealth and power through her from this place of benevolence and from this place of deep worthiness.
So good. Like, I mean, you just stringing the words together in that fashion for it to come out in such a way, in such a beauty too. And I think it gives lots of women permission to take up that ownership of that mother, that queen, that matriarch that you're talking about, because we have been programmed, and the previous generations before us have been programmed, to be self-sacrificial, to fill everyone else's cups except their own, to disregard their dreams or throw away a career or pursue a passion of theirs because they're a mother. And this is so much why I wanted to have you on the show, because you are really trailblazing a way and giving other women permission to trailblaze their own journey and teach their kids a new way of thinking, whether they have boys or girls or the other. You know, you talked a little bit earlier about the initiation of motherhood and obviously having that identity shift. And when you had your daughter and then when you had your son, right? Daughter, son.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So how did the shifting into motherhood change how you ended up approaching your business and your life and your wealth?
It's interesting because, so I had my daughter first, that was October of 2020. And I think that, I don't know if this was your experience, Kayla, you said you have two as well, but I found that each birth brought with it its own initiation, its own medicine. It was its own thing. And Ella, my daughter, was, we wanted a home birth for both. My first was born in the hospital. We had to transfer. It was like a whole traumatic situation. So I had a deeply healing process journey between the birth of my daughter and the birth of my son. And Jack was born at home. It was probably the single, I could just like weep thinking about it now. It was like the single most empowering, exquisite days of my life. And I obviously love both of my children equally deeply, as wide as the ocean. And Jack's birth brought it, it awakened something in me. So from an identity level, going from maiden to mother with my first was an enormous transition and catalyst for starting to do things differently, starting to think about my business and legacy wealth in a different way, empowering me to dream bigger so I could expand her world of possibility. Like all of that was really present for me. And with Jack, what radically changed for me, Jack was nearly 11 pounds. He was 10 pounds and 15 ounces. I birthed him at home in the water and I did not push him out. My body expelled him. And it was for somebody that, you know, I'm an Enneagram 3, I'm a manifester, I'm a go-getter. If I fucking want something, I'm going to go get it. And Jack's birth, though, introduced me in this visceral somatic way to a different experience of power than I had ever experienced before. It was like, what if power is not just setting your vision and going after it? What if the highest, wisest, most ancient, primal expression of power is like aligning your vision with the thing that's meant for you and like being devoted enough to surrender to that and get out of the way and let it move through you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I literally have like tears in my eyes just saying that, because that is what brought like an 11-pound baby through my body without pain and into the world. And I will be honest with you, Kayla, it fucking floored me. It was like, I don't know who I am anymore, because everything I thought about how big results happen has just been unraveled. It's not about how hard I push. I didn't push at all. It's not about how much I just like lean back and manifest, because like mama was fucking active as fucking labor. But it was this marriage of being so present and in it and also being so surrendered. And so that was a whole initiation process that began really unraveling in me and catalyzing what then became almost 10 months later, which is interesting because that's how long it takes to gestate a baby, the rebirth of my company from Kate Scudder International to the Millionaire Mother. And I knew that what I was integrating in business needed, it was still energy and strategy, marketing, branding, offers, all the things, but it needed to have this added lens of this like matriarchal wisdom coming through it, because that is the somatic upgrade that I got in Jack's birth. And I couldn't ever teach and coach and mentor in business and unlearn that learning.
Well, it's like a truth. Once you know the truth, you can't unknow it. Once you see the truth,
Totally.
You can't unsee it. And I relate to that on such a hardcore level. Both my kids, the births of both of them, I was very clear on the type of birth that I wanted to have. I was very clear on the environment that I was going to set myself up in. And after my daughter came, my first, I seriously couldn't believe that I did that. I couldn't believe that my whole body just somehow had this ancestral lineage of wisdom to allow me to actually birth her. And then for my son, same kind of concept, really big, bigger than I anticipated. And it was this revolution of knowing and having this deep-seated understanding that if I can do that, then I can actually do anything. And that's kind of, for me, what came through my births and the reason why I actually stepped into the entrepreneur space after I had my daughter Charlie was because I was like, she deserves me to be the healthiest, happiest parent for her. And I know that I need to show her. I know that I need to trailblaze this and model for her what is possible inside of womanhood that maybe I didn't get to see growing up. And I love my mom and I love the way I was raised. However, there was this aspect of my being that didn't know how to accomplish what I knew what my soul level was within me. And birth had just this, like you said, this initiation of shifting and how you approach your business and the alchemy of what you create from that point further. So thank you for sharing that so much. You know, I really want to ask, and this might be a little bit of a personal question, Kate, but like,
go for it.
Perfect. How do you, and I know that you and your husband, Toby, you know, you're creating a beautiful homestead. You're doing this big thing as the seven-figure business CEO and mentor. How do you teach and talk to your kids or talk about money around your kids that it might be different from how you remember it in your childhood? Hey friends, what's up? Real quick here. I need to ask you a favor. Over the last year, I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this podcast, and I have a team behind the scenes who puts their blood, sweat, and tears into this podcast to offer you free content that helps you live your most empowered life. We do not do any sort of advertising whatsoever, so what I'm asking is for you to leave a 5-star review of the show either on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform that you are currently using to listen to the episodes. This helps the grand mission of She Empowers to build community, to reach more ears, and ultimately help us grow this podcast. It takes 1 minute of your time, and it is the best act of generosity that you can give back to the show. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in, and thank you so much for helping us reach our mission in reaching more ears, more people, and more empowered and inspired lives. Now back to the show.
Yeah, such a great question. So my kids are still very young. Like Jack says many, many, many words. His vocabulary is actually incredible, but he's not like sentence conversational yet. Ella, who's just 3 in a couple months, she is actually extremely conversational. She talks like a 10-year-old. But she's young. And so I'm not having like conversations about like, you know, the fact that we like are putting them on payroll and that they're like generating but all of that to say is we talk about money with them. We talk about work with them and they see me. So my office is at home. Mm-hmm. Both my husband and I work from home. Toby only really has to work. He runs his own business as well, but he only works about 4 hours a week in that business. And then he does many other things. He's very, very active around the homestead. He's like really hands-on with our animals, with our property, with our life administration. So just full transparency there. It's not like I'm like up at 4:30 milking goats and then like coming into like he's very, very hands-on with the homestead. So Anyway, the way that we talk to our kids about money is just like normalizing the things that we are able to do from a lifestyle perspective. We take our kids on family holidays, and it's really like connecting the dots between, hey, like when mommy goes up to do her calls, when mommy goes up to work in her office, mommy helps. And like when I go away, because I facilitate retreats abroad. Last year I facilitated, gosh, it was like 5 retreats between my peer mastermind, my inner circle, my open retreat that I host here on the land on our homestead. And so my kids see like there are these pockets of time that like mommy's working, but it's also very, and I say to my kids, like mom, and particularly to Ella, you know, mommy's helping other mommies with their businesses and with their families and supporting them to make more money. And so, like, so that they can do more things and they can. And so she sees that like, oh, we're able to go on this like beautiful holiday. We're able to have this like spacious, beautiful life. We're able to have this nanny full time who's here to support with things around the house and have, you know, a housekeeper come in who does our laundry and like this ecosystem of people and this like lifestyle of support because mommy is like working and supporting. And so she sees this, like she sees the connection. And as they get older, like we will have more explicit conversations about money and about saving. Like last summer, she had her first lemonade stand and we like framed her first dollar and she's got like a piggy bank. And we, you know, I've talked to her about, Ella, what's so amazing about this is that you get to like save this money and decide to like buy something that you made with your own money. And you can like buy something right now for a dollar, or you can save it up and buy something really special. And so teaching her about saving, teaching her about spending, like, but not making it like, you know, you can't ever touch it or don't spend it or whatever, but just like educating on the differences and, you know, always fueling her creative passions and not trying to like superimpose and be like, start a business, even though there's like so much of me that's like, you know, I'm sure she will. And we will send her, like, we really love the like Acton schools. Like she's in a Waldorf homeschool, Waldorf inspired like homeschool thing. But we, you know, when it comes to like more traditional school age, we will probably send her to something similar, either send her to or create here on the homestead, more of like an Acton model, which is very entrepreneurial in nature. And just like they, because Toby and I are both entrepreneurs, because we have both created a radically different relationship with money, we will raise our kids just feeling the possibilities that are available to them, both to have money and also to understand the connection between creating something original in the world and creating wealth.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing those. I really think it's important for moms to just sort of seat with the fact that we don't need to use words and phrases like money doesn't grow on trees and that's too expensive and some of the things that we grew up with, but actually just reframing for our children who are like sponges who can literally be programmed for anything. And since so much of our programming came from our childhood, how much like impact, how much influence we can have, how much inspiration we can have to just give them more of the possibility mindset, of the dwelling of possibility of what I can do, what I can create, how I can spend my money, how I can save my money. Like those are amazing tips. So thank you for answering that. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, 100%. And it's so interesting. Like I have never, I heard that a lot growing up and I've never once said anything like that to my kids because yeah. The fact is I believe, okay, money doesn't grow, like cash dollar bills don't fall off of trees like leaves. However, I do believe like if I need to like create money, I can go do that. And because I have that belief, why would I like shame if, because normally a parent says that to their kids to like say, we can't afford that right now. And there's this subtle shaming to it. Why would we do that? Why would we do that when, you know, and it's not to say that my answer is yes, every time my child wants to buy something, like we don't, I don't know. I don't like walk into a toy shop with them regularly or something. So we're not in environments where they're constantly seeing stuff and having this like dopamine, you know, bug-eyed, I want to buy that thing right now. But there may be situations where they're like, I would like to do this, whether it's like, I want to buy dessert at the restaurant or whatever. And my response might be no, but it's never going to be like, no, you can't have that. How dare you request that? We don't have the money for it. Right. It's going to be, you know, we're not going to buy that thing right now, but there's so many other yes options. Or it's going to be, you know, that's a thing that you want. I love that. Let's talk about how we're going to make that happen. And so it's always couched in this layer of possibility, not this layer of there's a world of access that you don't have.
Yeah. And I love that you added the shame component to it, because it does feel like that when you were a child. And then that comes through in your adult life. And the way that you speak might be actually how your parents spoke and how their parents spoke to them. It's not actually truly your belief system. So I think that we have the ability to really just reshape our own mindsets of money, but also the mindsets of our children and our children's children and any generation after this that is touched by our influence and our ability to just see possibility for our own lives. You know, you touched a little bit on the support piece, and I've listened to your podcast avidly, Kate, but for the people who maybe have not ever heard of your podcast, how do you set your day and your week and your month up for success? Like, who are the people that help you with this journey, with this vision? Because I think that so much of our programming, really does lie in this, I have to do it myself. And I know you have your program of the village. How do you create the village within your home?
Yeah. I mean, within my home, within my business, within my heart and personal life, it's a whole thing. So what do you want to know more, like the actual infrastructure of the tiers of support? I'll just talk about that if that's helpful.
Yeah, but that would be super great.
I think about there's four different types of support that I think that every mother entrepreneur needs: head, heart, hands, and home. So when I think about head and heart, that is like the masterminds that you're in, that is your mentor, that are maybe your therapists. Those are the people that are there for you as the CEO, as the woman. Those are like your spiritual guides. So those are the people that are designed to hold and support you. And frankly, this is the most important, because this is the easiest for mothers especially to justify not having. We say, oh, I've got $5,000. It really should go towards the kitchen renovation, not towards my support. Or, you know, we really have these big financial dreams. I shouldn't spend that on myself. I should give that to my kids and their college fund or whatever. And what I think is so critical that mothers understand is that every investment back into ourselves is like a generational deposit in the fruition, the evolution, and the enrichment of our children and of our entire lineage. And so the head and the heart are really those tiers of support to support you. So like, I'm part of three different masterminds, and I go away on retreat for those masterminds. I pay over $100,000 a year to be supported in those ways. Toby and I have a couples therapist, not because we're like on the brink of divorce. We love the shit out of each other. We just got back from a juicy baby moon in Miami, but like, we run a homestead. We have multiple properties. We know that we're about to welcome in our third baby. We are like, we're not waiting for shit to be falling apart to be investing in ourselves. And I think that that just overall is such an important lens. Like, when you think about the queen as an archetype, she's not like, I'll do it all by myself until my life is falling apart. No, she's like lavishly supported. Mm-hmm. And so that I really try to replicate in my own life and business. And then obviously there's all the like health, like physical health, everything though, to support head, heart of myself as the individual. That's what I have set up around me there. Then there is head as it relates to the business. So yes, having like, oh, and I also have two different one-to-one business mentors right now. I also have a director of operations inside of my business. So while I'm the CEO of my company, I also have a right-hand woman who's able to not provide me with strategic advice, but like translate, like is fluent in the lexicon and language and vocabulary of strategy and can translate into execution for my team. And that is a really big piece, particularly at the like scaling stage. So like multi six, seven figure, that is a huge piece of the puzzle. And then there's the hand support. So the execution people. So in my home, I have a housekeeper who comes 15 hours a week. She does all of our deep cleaning. She does all of our laundry. She changes all of our bedding. She cleans my bathroom. She like puts clothes away that I, you know, don't put away. Like I stuff that I just know that I don't need to do. And again, there's so many layers of conditioning here, Kayla. We could be like, oh my God, who am I to just like think I don't have to do laundry? But it's like, what if you didn't have to do laundry? Yeah. And for me, in my company, it doesn't make sense for me to spend an hour doing laundry when I could, like my hourly rate for coaching is $5,000 an hour. Mm-hmm. Why would I spend my time doing that when I could be making money, growing the company, working on the vision, et cetera? And so- And I get to employ amazing people. So I employ two people in my home. I also have a full-time nanny who is employed by me as well. And so she's with our kids, but she runs errands. She does meal prep. There's a bunch of stuff on the days that our housekeeper isn't here. She helps out with laundry. She's helping me pull out all the newborn clothes. She organizes the kids' drawers. So there's so much support so that when I am with my children, I get to just be with them. I get to play with them. I get to drop in with them. I get to really, really be with them and not be like overwhelmed by all the different motherhood things that have to happen. So those are some examples of hand support at home. And then in the business, it's like the tech VA, the community manager VA, the podcast editor. I'm not scrambling on the back end to do all of the things. I have this team. And I just want to also caveat this and say, like, I have built this scaffolding of support over the years. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, you don't need to do all these things at once, but it's like, as you grow and scale, and again, that's the value of having the head support is like knowing who to hire when and how to start to gradually grow your team. That's all been hugely supportive. And the home piece I spoke to as well.
Yeah. The head, heart, hand, and home, like for listeners who are on the podcast today, like even just taking a mental note of where you are being supported in those areas or where you're lacking support. Because I think that also there's this fear of the investment of having a house cleaner or having a nanny or having the people come in. And especially if, again, you said, if that's not been modeled to you, I literally had to fight with my husband to get a house cleaner. And eventually I was like, you know what? It doesn't even matter what you have to say about it anymore. I'm getting the house cleaner. It. Once we did it, he's like, when is she coming? Like she's my favorite person to pay. So there's also this like exchange of the good and what that time gives back to you to just be the mom or have the time with the kids and not be worried about the 18th load of laundry that hasn't been done and needs to be folded and put away. And it's been sitting in the laundry wash for like 10 days. Like, I mean, we've all had these moments as mothers, especially if you're running a business as well, where we do feel that overwhelm come in. So I love that you kind of touched on those four points so that people can actually audit their own life in that realm. I think I have a couple more questions for you, Kate. You know, you talked about, you know, the holding of the wealth and you obviously have a pretty, lots of hats that you're wearing and a lot of people that are relying on you. Is it the fear of wealth, of holding the wealth that scares us, or it is the responsibility of who we need to become in order to actually hold that wealth? Like, how have you had the bravery to continuously bring forth your programs and your offerings that allow you to create a wealthy lifestyle? And what have you done to kind of overcome those big fears?
Honestly, it's sort of, I think that the fear of before you just do it, I mean, there's also the fear of like, okay, I'm flying high, shit, I have like families and people that depend on me for their living. That's very real. But I also think that once you get going, it's like riding a bike. And I often give the analogy of a tightrope walker. You know, we can feel the same amount of fear walking on a tightrope that's 2 feet above the ground as we do 200 feet above the ground. But in reality, it's the same thing. And it's the same rope, it's the same 1 foot in front of the other. And I think that just remembering that is so grounding and so helpful. Like, I think a lot of women fear, I won't be able to do it under that pressure, or making that much money sounds so stressful. But I personally think it's so much more stressful to like hate your life, constantly be trying to like find these escape routes and being unfulfilled than it is just freaking going for it and solving the problems that emerge. Because like you can be a multimillionaire and still have problems that you have to solve. You can have a super successful business and still have things you have to troubleshoot. But it's almost like choosing your hard and choosing the thing that the challenges that you sign up for. Just like when you marry someone, it's not like the goal is to marry Mr. Perfect. It's like the goal is to marry the person that lights your soul on fire, that's the right fit for you, and whose shit you are willing to be in the rumble with, and be, to use Brené Brown's word, and to just wade through the hard times with, because it's worth it. It's like that in business. And for me, any of the fears I had before really going for it were just dissolved once I started going for it. And like and realized I would so much rather solve these problems than the problem of constantly wondering if I could do it, constantly feeling like there was more meant for me. That was so much harder, actually.
I mean, that's great insight because I think people do spend a lot of time in the waiting. Well, maybe if I just get like one other follower, and maybe if I just do a little bit more, then I'll be ready to take the next step, or then I will actually be brave enough to kind of pursue it. So I've never thought about it from that perspective of just it being maybe a little bit more draining, to stay in that wonder or that how is it going to happen? I think that we always focus so much on the how when in fact it's like if we reverse engineer the question of what is my goal, and if my goal were true, how would I have gotten there in the first place?
Totally.
So what do you want women to know in order for them to become the wealthiest version of themselves, creating, their wealth identity and finding the things that they need to find in order to pursue their passions?
There is not a secret outside of you that you are missing. You literally have everything you need inside of you. What you may need is the activation. It's like the catalytic agent that is waiting to spark what is already latent and there within you. And so what I want to say is like, get on board with the fact that you can, this isn't, don't just let this be an inspiring interview with some millionaire mom who's like crushing it out there in the world. Let this be a catalyst that says, I can fucking do this too in my own version and in my own way. It's not about replicating my or anyone else's success. It's about deciding for yourself, what does that success look like for you? And then going all in on that. And for me, that meant getting supported. So I talked before about the importance of environment and calibration and belonging. When your nervous system is on board with there are other people doing this and I get to belong in that room, and you get yourselves in those rooms, you will exponentially increase the rate at which you access it. You just will. And so that is my dare for you, is like, know it's yours, claim it, and go do it.
You've heard it here first. You've been dared to dream, dared to invest in yourself, dared to just dwell in that possibility of what is going to be your reality. Well, how can our listeners connect with you, Kate? What is the best way to find you, to utilize your services, or kind of check out what you're doing?
Kayla, this has been such a great interview. Thank you so much. Come say hi on Instagram, guys. I'm at the Millionaire Mother on Insta. I would love to connect with you there. I would love to hear if you listened to this and what you took away. So send me a DM. It's me and my DMs. So I would love to hear from you. I also have a podcast, the Millionaire Mother Podcast. We have over 200 episodes, I think, now. So you can just go binge that. It's completely free. And then as far as offerings, I have a low-cost monthly membership called The Village, where I share a private podcast daily for mother entrepreneurs and aspiring mother entrepreneurs. And then I have my all-access coaching container, which is called The Millionaire Mother Experience, if you're really ready to blow the lid off, have that support and accountability, and really just take it to a whole new level in your business. That's where we're doing that with the ambitious mamas in the room for the Millionaire Mother Experience. It's a 12-month container. So you can send me a DM about that as well if you're interested.
Amazing. And all of Kate's information is going to be left in our show notes today. So please get connected with her on whatever portals you choose. Thank you so much, Kate, for your beautiful wisdom today, how you brought yourself to this interview. I'm so grateful that I finally got to connect with you and share you with my audience. So thank you so, so much. I love you, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you, babe. I'm so grateful as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening the whole way through on She Empowers the podcast. Make sure to subscribe anywhere you are listening to podcasts. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave a 5-star review of the show so more women can learn about what we are doing over here? You can also copy this link and share it on your social media and tag me at sheempowers.co. That is the way we get these beautiful messages out to more and more souls around the world. Thank you so much for being a part of the She Empowers community. Until next time, go lead with love and joy.